Hi, everyone. How are you? Energy okay? Mindy kept you up. I mean, I had a belly laugh a few times. I love when a speaker does that, and I spontaneously start laughing. I'm going to take some gold nuggets from Mindy for sure. So thank you for joining us today. What we want to talk about and what we're going to explore as a panel, and then I'm going to encourage the audience to participate towards the end in some questioning, is about a moonshot. It's about dreaming big. It's about how do you pursue those passions, your dreams, your aspirations, and get some real tips and tricks and tools and insight in how these amazing women to my left have pursued their dreams. They have some amazing stories, and you're going to hear a little bit about how they pursued those things. The data shows on LinkedIn that if you leverage your network, if you connect with people that have been there, done that, and keep stretching your imagination, you can achieve what you set out to achieve. And so we're going to explore what that looks like. You know, what does it mean for you? What skills, what personality traits, how you draw upon your confidence? I've talked to so many women today about the gremlin on the shoulder, the doubt, you know, and how I pursue my passions, and what does that look like, and how do I feel through that whole process, and is it easy? And you heard Mindy this afternoon about it being hard. Like, some things are hard. Some paths are hard. But the results and the gratification at the end of that path is magical. And there's a couple of us on the panel that believe in magic, so I like that. I'm not doing any magic tricks, but I love magic. All right, so for the panel, what I have are three amazing women, and I'll start with my left. So Mary, I'm excited to have you here. So when we're doing our bios, she's really a rocket scientist. I'm so honored to meet you. I really am. And she's got an amazing book, and she talks about the attributes of leadership, and she's done this amazing virtual reality company she's a founder of. And Bill Gates was just lauding her accomplishments and the innovation, top 10 innovation companies?
Top 10.
That's not shabby. So I think she's dreaming. I think she's dreaming big, and I can't wait to hear about your story.
Thank you.
And then Anna, what an amazing adventure you've had. 5 years with your blogging? That's quite an achievement. So she has the privilege of blogging with women, you know, and talking to people and working with women and thinking about how she changes the world and minds of others. Like, she's aspired to do something different. And I'm not going to steal her thunder, but I'm super excited to have her here today. And Anjula, thank you for joining us today as well.
Thank you.
Being a woman in a VC, being an angel investor, living and working in a men's world, understanding how to dream big, your story is so impressive as well.
Thank
so
you.
I am super excited. And she's the one who believes in magic, by the way.
We all do.
See?
Because we are magical.
Woo! You guys believe in magic? Oh, I already got the Yeah. Raising the roof. Let's make some magic happen.
Please.
All right, so Mary, teeing off with you. What is your definition of a moonshot? Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. My definition of a moonshot is summed up in a quote that I heard once, which said, my definition of a moonshot, I was saying, is summed up in a quote that I heard once from the first female president of Liberia, who said, if your dreams don't scare you, then they're not big enough. And that's my definition of a moonshot, something that is so magical, so crazy, but you know that you can at least take a shot at. And that's, you know, proverbial reaching for the moon.
Very cool. And in pursuit of that definition, what was your moonshot? What was your dream?
My first moonshot, you know, I grew up in Ghana. I was born in Syracuse, but my parents are from Ghana, so we moved back to Ghana. So growing up in Ghana, there were, you know, some great times, but there were also tough times. And I remember very clearly that, you know, at some of the worst times ever, you know, for example, when I was about 8, the government had been taken over. There were people who I knew whose parents were being taken away, shot to death. There were a lot of crazy things happening around us. But in the midst of that, I knew that I was meant for more, that there was something on the other side. You know, when I was about 13, I found out that, you know, I was American. I was like, what? I'm going back. I am going back. So at 16, I begged my parents to send me back to America. So I think that was my biggest moonshot. And somehow I convinced them. I came alone. You know, being the scientist, I did my research before coming. I watched Coming to America. I watched a movie called Coming to America. So, but that was my first moonshot at 16, coming to America. So
we're glad you came to America.
Thank you.
All right, so Anna, can you describe your moonshot and share what kind of mindset you needed to have to pursue it?
That moment. So I'm actually going to go back to several years ago as well. I was a TV producer. I've always created content for the Hispanic industry, and it was my first big job straight out of college with Univision in the 90s, Univision. And it was a dream job for anybody who wanted to work in the Latino industry, which was still like a new industry back then. And I was doing extremely well as a like 26-year-old, and I used to have to go to Mexico City a lot to produce because they didn't, Univision didn't have offices really in Mexico City. And I just kept falling in love, you know, with this crazy city, but yet I lived in South Beach, had like a really cool job hanging out with Enrique Iglesias and whoever, you know, like this fun job. And then I was like, there's something in me that needs to destroy all of this beauty and face something chaotic that I have no idea what it is, but it's waiting for me. And I did it. Everybody thought I was crazy. I quit my job and I moved to Mexico City and I started doing publicity for artists and different things. It was horrible, you know, after 6 months. I almost, you know, died from complications with health complications, like just so many things happened. But from there, now that I look back from that is like this spiritual awakening and this becoming fearless. Mm-hmm. I learned to be fearless. I learned that I could face anything and come out of it on the other side as a better person, having learned more and being able to go after anything that I wanted.
Very cool. So Anjula, what is your moonshot and what drove you to pursue that moonshot?
So, I mean, just to say, your stories are amazing and I feel really teary actually. So my moonshot started probably when I was about 11 years old. And I grew up in a really racist environment in England. We were the only family of color for miles and miles. And one of the things that I realized really young, and I wasn't able to articulate it the way I can now, obviously, was that media and pop culture had everything to do with the way I was treated at school as a child. So I was hugely alienated. I mean, I have some horrific stories of my childhood, which I won't go into. But what was really struck me was that every time I saw my people on TV, so South Asians, it was always very negative, it was derogatory, it was just horrible. And then the next day at school, I would be like bullied 10 times worse, and people would be like, that's you, and throw things at me. And it was, you know, growing up, it was, you just want to fit in, you just want to be like everybody else. So I completely shunned my culture. And, you know, I like called myself Angela instead of Anjula. Like I did everything I could to like look like a white girl, even though I just wasn't, and there was no getting away from it. But what I sort of, so that moonshot started then for me, because I remember thinking that, you know, I didn't think pop culture, I just thought TV was responsible for the way I was being treated. So I thought one day I'm gonna grow up and I'm gonna be big and I'm gonna be strong and I'm gonna change TV. And I'm gonna have role models that represent me the way I want to be represented. Anyway, it took me a long time to get here, guys. Like, I mean, 40 years later, well, actually not that many years, 30 years later, you know, here I am. And, you know, this actress that I manage, her name is Priyanka Chopra. She's in the long line of women that have owned a show on ABC. So she came after Kerry Washington and Sofia Vergara, mm-hmm. and Viola Davis and Sandra Oh. And she's now the sort of completing that palette, I would say, of like a South Asian-led female on a big TV show. And she's on the front cover of Time magazine today as Time 100's most influential women. People. And, you know, for me, it was just like, you know, changing pop culture and changing the face of TV and being part of that story. So my moonshot was that. But one of the things I just want to bring out that I only just realized sitting up here was that it's that whole thing of fearlessness, being fearless. Mm-hmm. It's just the whole thing of just going, you know what, the worst has happened to me. And I felt like rock bottom and nobody can hurt me anymore. And what's the worst that can happen? Nothing. So, you know, I'm just going to go out and be fearless and change something.
I love that. And so you believe in magic.
Yes.
Tell me, what does that mean? And how do we give magic to others? Can we give magic spells to others? What do we do?
So, you know, I really started believing in magic when I founded my first startup. It was called Desi Hits, and it was bringing together pop culture from around the world. So we did everything from take Lady Gaga to India and build content around her to actually Priyanka Chopra being part of that sort of cross-cultural thing. And I founded my startup and I raised money, which was unbelievable for me. Like, you know, I was this woman from England. I didn't have an Ivy League background. I wasn't, you know, hadn't founded a company before. I moved here. I had this funny accent that half the people didn't understand. And I have allergies today, by the way, which is why you probably don't understand me even more. But
you're fine.
Right. I came here and I, you know, I had this whole fearless attitude and I went and I raised money and I thought it was pretty magical. Like, I mean, it was, I guess, my own magic that made me believe in magic. And I was like, wow, this is like really quite crazy that I was able to do this. And I think that just started the pattern for me where I did something that I shocked myself about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just remember going into these VC meetings with all men and just going, I believe in myself and I believe in magic and I believe I can make this happen. And it really is belief and visualization. And I kept visualizing myself with this money. I kept visualizing myself with this $5 million, which was my first round, $6 million. And I actually raised money subsequently from some really significant people in our industry. And like I said, it was just that whole thing of just visualization and belief. And, you know, Priyanka, so by the way, I'm a venture capitalist, but then I also manage Priyanka Chopra. But the funny thing was, I remember seeing Kerry Washington on the Getting a People's Choice Award. And I remember sitting there visualizing, and it was her and her manager, and I remember visualizing myself and Priyanka doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And January this year, Priyanka won a People's Choice Award. Mm-hmm. And again, like, I just believe in magic because I believe if you can really visualize something, you cast a spell. Yes. And when you cast that spell, it has to happen.
Yep. That's awesome. I'm gonna cast a spell.
So we were chatting earlier about teaching people how to dream. Like, some people get confused about what a dream is, and you know, I have this time, I don't know what to do next. I know there's another chapter in me, but what could that be? And they're kind of stuck. You know what I mean? So what would you guide this audience about creating their moonshot, about creating that dream? What advice, Mary, would you give them?
I think the biggest advice, which, you know, one of the reasons why I wrote It's Not Rocket Science is because I realized even for myself, you know, a lot of times everybody has a dream and we all have that dream. But if you don't decide or have that belief, that magical belief that it's possible, then most people put it on that someday dream and someday never comes, you know. So the first advice is starting with a mindset that no matter how crazy it is, it's possible. No matter how crazy it is, that it's possible. And then really taking those steps towards making it a reality. Mm-hmm. You know, I was working at Boeing Digital Cinema, and, you know, I had a really great career, but I once again, I felt like, okay, there's something else that I want to do, because one of the things that I found after we came up with digital cinema technology was that independent movie distributors still couldn't distribute their movies over satellite, which was a technology that we had come up with in terms of digital cinema. So I said, wow, I want to create a platform that independent movie distributors can use. You know, I didn't really know where I was going to start or where or which direction it was going to go in. But what I did is I left and I started the company. There were, you know, some really, really tough times. However, I believed without a shadow of a doubt that it was something that I could do. You know, and so I was able to attract the right people. I was able to attract the right companies that, you know, came on board to use the platform. Coca-Cola was one of them, was a client. And before I knew it, as I attracted more people, I attracted even more opportunities. So it's having that belief, it starts with a mindset. And I believe the mindset is more important than talent, is more important than anything. Having that mindset and the tenacity to say, I'm going to see this through and this is going to happen no matter what.
That's awesome. I love the confidence in self. So Anna, for you.
A lot of it is the same, but there is something we were talking about, right? That there is a little bit of a misconception sometimes between identifying what is a dream and what is a goal. And mm-hmm. and sometimes when you're set on goals, it can lead to disappointment. Because the way I see it, goals are something that it's it's kind of linear, right? It's not malleable. It's, I have a goal, I need to get there in 2-3 years. Like, I hate when people ask me, what is your goal in 3 years? Where do you see yourself in 3 years? I'm like, life changes so much, and the beauty of it is that I want to be open to that changing landscape and to the different opportunities and to the different spells that I can cast throughout, you know, those throughout everything, the opportunities that come to me and the changes that are manifesting in your life. So if you're stuck with goals, I feel that like I said before, it leads you to so many disappointments. And a lot of this comes from, you know, from hindsight of knowing what I have created now. Many years ago, I would have never even thought that the path that I had embarked in was going to end up now leading in what Latina Bloggers Connect. I have it's a network of over 2,100 Latina bloggers and YouTubers, creators that are really shaping, you know, the concept of what it is to be a Latina woman in the United States. It's economically empowering them. It is, you know, we have a conference where we bring together 400 women, and it's become kind of like the spiritual awakening between all of us together. I would have never been able to conceptualize that 6 years ago when it started, because the industry didn't even exist. Mm-hmm. So it was going, it was at the moment knowing that, recognizing those mini dreams, mm-hmm. right? Maybe there is not that one, but those dreams that start coming up at every moment that are those steps that lead you to the next step, that all of a sudden you're able to identify what it is that you've left behind, that trail that you, that is behind you, and how it manifested now. But what you were saying, Mary, I want to reiterate, it's really hard or almost impossible to make any dream come true unless you step up to the plate and you take the steps. And that's how everything, you're gonna attract the right people, the right opportunity, the right moments, and you will know which of those are the right ones to follow to lead you to where that gut feeling, that desire more than that goal is taking you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm gonna change the conversation a little bit. Anjula, networking, meeting with people, navigating with people has been a huge impact for you. So can you share a little bit about a mentor? Share a little bit about the power of that journey and connection and networking and how that helped you achieve your dreams?
Yeah. As I'm sitting here and listening, I'm thinking about all the things that I've done and all the barriers that I've broken and the walls that I've knocked down, and thinking about what I can give you guys that will help you on your journey. And the one thing I will tell you is, if you're not good at networking, get really good at networking. But I'm going to tell you how to do it. So when you're networking, you have to remember that you have to give before you get. Mm-hmm. So I think people have now seen me as this really big connector. And they want to know me because I'm a big connector. And the reason I got good at connecting was because I wanted to connect with people, but I thought if I could give them a connection before I could ask them for a connection, then that would put me in a good position with them. So I started off just connecting everybody. And then the more people you connect, the more people you know. And it's just this flywheel effect. So let's just say, you know, I want to get to know Anna. I would in my head strategically think, who would she want to connect to in my network that would be good for her? So let's just say I was like, met her at a conference, I'd be like, oh, Anna, I know blah, blah, would you want to connect with them? And she'd be like, yeah, I've like been looking to connect. And I'm like, okay, I'll connect you guys. And then she'll always be warm to whatever I ask her for. So, you know, because she'll remember me as the person that helped her out without even asking for anything, right? Mm-hmm. So I always say my biggest thing is, you know, you have to give before you can get, and be willing to do that. The other thing also is just the power of inspiring people. So I'm talking more from a startup entrepreneur, but whatever it is that you want to do, like, you've really got to get good at telling your story and inspiring people. And I say this to entrepreneurs now that I'm working on the VC side, a big chunk of what I do is help other entrepreneurs tell their story and develop their narrative. So really spend time doing that. Do you remember when you were a kid and you used to like, I used to do this anyway, you used to sort of look in the mirror with your hairbrush and pretend to sing? Well, you've kind of got to do that with your narrative. Like, you've got to tell your story and you've got to practice it, and practice it in front of the mirror, and make sure it's really inspiring. And, you know, practice it on your friends and on your family, and ask them if they're inspired. If they're inspired, you've got it. Because the reality is, you can't sell, you have to inspire. So I always say that to people, don't sell, inspire. Right. Mm-hmm. And then everywhere you go and you meet people, make a connection for them first, and then just inspire them with your story. And I think that, you know, there's hopefully they're two tips that help you build your network and then help you turn that network into something that can work for you. And I will tell you this, like people say this to me all the time and they say, but you're really lucky, you know all these amazing people and that's how you've got everything you've got. I came to this country as an immigrant, I knew nobody. I actually worked in executive recruitment. I didn't know anyone in VC, I didn't know anyone in entertainment, and now I could tell you, I could get to anybody in the entertainment world. I could get to the biggest stars in the world. And I don't say that with arrogance, I say that with conviction because I built that for myself, you know, and I built that through what I'm telling you guys to do. So don't ever sit there and think, oh, I don't have the network, I can't build it. You can absolutely build it. You can build it from nothing if you can inspire people. So anyway, that's my advice.
I just want to applaud that. I am like, I need a pen to write that quote. I need to tweet it, and I'm going to after we're done. That was inspiring.
Thank you.
And very inspiring. I just lost the track of my thought. I have to look at my notes now. So thank you for the tips and the guidance. You also invest in a lot of women-run companies. Yeah. So what do you look for? So if you have an entrepreneur out here, someone that's trying to pitch and inspire, what do you look for?
I look for three things. Firstly, I look for a real problem that you're solving. So if you're solving a problem, actually look for four things. I look for a problem that you're solving and you have to convince me that there really is a problem. Like, because I find a lot of entrepreneurs, including myself, sort of try to create problems to solve. No, there has to really be a problem. And then you have to prove to me that you're the best person to solve it, right? So like, there's many things that will define that. And then I look for cultural shifts. So, you know, so for example, one of the startups that I backed was a company called ClassPass. I don't know how many of you guys know that company. But ClassPass, Payal Kadakia, who is just a rock star entrepreneur, came to me with just an idea. Like, she had nothing. She didn't have a business plan or anything. She came to me and she said, I've got this idea about building this platform, which was really going to be the open table for classes at the time. And it was called Dabble, actually. And, you know, I thought to myself, you know, I don't know if this is really the right platform, but what I did see was this cultural shift from the perspective of people were moving from gyms to classes. And I was amazed at how my friends were like going to SoulCycle every day and spending 30, 40 bucks every single day on these classes. And I was like, wow, people are really willing to put their money behind this. And they're tired of gyms and they don't want that commitment and they want variety. And I saw this cultural shift. So when she came to me with this idea, I knew she was onto something because I saw the shift and she was onto that shift. And it was the same thing when Priyanka actually, when we decided to put on this TV show with ABC, it was the same thing. I saw in pop culture, people weren't talking about movies as much, or they weren't talking about music as much. They were talking about, did you see Scandal last night? Right? So I was like, oh, there's this big shift. So I look for cultural shifts. So if your startup is something that is like really feeding into a shift that you see, then that really excites me. And then the final thing is an amazing story. So Payal, for example, and I have many female entrepreneurs I've backed, I'll just talk about her for a second. She was a dancer. She's really crazy about fitness. This whole story of, I was gonna say LinkedIn then. This whole story.
I'm cool with that.
right. This whole story of ClassPass really was resonated with who she is intrinsically and her passion and her goals and her soul. Like it was, and she was just magical about it. So she just encompassed all of those things. So that's what I look for.
Very cool, very cool. Mary, so you've achieved several dreams, several chapters. How many more chapters do you have left? And how do you stay inspired? Who inspires you?
I don't know how many chapters I have left. Hopefully a whole lot more. How I stay inspired, I'm very, very driven by passion. Whatever I do, I have to be able to, it has to be so exciting to where I can't go to bed at night and I jump out of bed in the morning so excited to do, which is what I'm doing now. For example, I'm working with virtual reality, creating tools for people to be able to deliver live experiences. For me, how I got to this was, you know, I tried on the Oculus.
Yeah.
How many of you have tried virtual reality? Okay, great. Usually it's not a whole lot of hands don't go up, but I'm in, you know, San Jose, so
yeah.
I figured everybody, yeah. So I tried it on, and when I tried on the Oculus, one of the things that I felt, it was magical for me. It was almost like a burning bush experience, as I describe it, because I remember growing up, you know, I told you during the tough times, I would sit in front of the television, which was where we escaped, right? We would look at, that's how I became inspired to dream of a better life and all of that stuff. And I always wondered what it felt like to be in the television, to be on the other side. And I felt when I tried it on that I had actually kind of tapped into that childhood, that feeling of being inside of the content. And so I said, wow, this is how everything has to be done. You know, we have to be able to live inside of the content. We have to be able to live these experiences. And I felt, wow, I'd been exposed, the things that I had been exposed to had allowed me to keep dreaming of all these big things. You know, when I came to the U.S., I didn't know anything about engineering. I was not an engineer. But I went in the Air Force, and an engineer told me, you should look into becoming an engineer because you're good with fixing things. So I applied for a scholarship, went back, became an engineer. So I thought, wow, if someone had seen me years back as that shoeless African child, they would never have expected that I would be able to do some of the things that I've been able to. So if I could bring this experience to other people, you know, be able to, through the technologies that I create, be that person that pulls somebody else, that little kid, and says, you could do this, or inspire them through the content that I deliver. So I stay inspired, because until all those other children, just like myself.
Thank you. I have so many goose chills from this panel. I'm like, oh my goodness. Aww. Oh, we're all gonna need one. And I don't know how you're gonna follow that one, sweetie.
Don't make us cry.
Wait, I have some jokes.
We'll bring right back to those.
Right, you're not gonna cry, right?
So Anna, talk back to yourself five years younger. What lessons would you have done differently? What would you have avoided a bigger challenge? Would you have changed anything in your aspirations and your openness?
I'm gonna say no. And not because I did everything perfect, because I did not. But it's because through all of those mistakes, and I know that even the talk of failure right now, it's kind of becoming cliche, but because it's real, right? Cliches become cliches because they're real. But the whole, every single failure, every single moment where I knew I could have probably taken a different decision, I could course correct it or learn from that, and that has taken me somewhere else. There is one mistake that I wish I wouldn't have made that keeps coming back to me and haunts me, but I also realize I basically created my own competition by opening my mouth, right? Mm-hmm. I told somebody what I was gonna do, and they basically threatened me, and they actually did it, right? Like 6 months later, because I wouldn't join them. So I created my own competition, and now I realize, even though they're hard to deal with and they're after me all the time, I realize that I probably needed that. That they have probably been the biggest gift for my company and for myself, because they make me continue innovating. And I'm always trying to be three steps ahead, but that's just because how I am. I'm a really good trendsetter, but I recognize trends right away. Maybe I could recognize a trend but kind of sleep on it. I don't sleep on it anymore, because I know I need to be three steps ahead.
She doesn't
of the game.
Sleep.
So I'd rather see them, as much as they are a pain in my ass, I'd rather see them as a motivation and as a gift.
Very cool. I'm so inspired. So Angela, look back. You immigrated here, you were a recruiter, you created this great networking opportunity, and you're right, it's very smart to give the gift before you ask, right, and create this richness of content. Who mentored you, though? Who actually accelerated your learning? Who helped you navigate, and how do you leverage that and give that back to others?
Sure. So I have an investor. Well, I have to tell you the story about this investor first, because it's quite funny. So there was, do people here know who Jimmy Iovine is?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so Jimmy Iovine is the founder of Interscope Records and Beats by Dre. So he's like an incredible entrepreneur. And he spots talent, that's what he does. So he spotted Dr. Dre and Eminem and 50 Cent and Gwen Stefani, and the list is endless, you too. So somebody during my Series B fundraise introduced me to him. He didn't show up to the meeting, so I was kind of really annoyed and pissed off. And so I closed my Series B, and then I was then reconnected to him. And I kind of had a bit of an attitude. I was like, kind of like, oh, well, you know, he canceled my first meeting, whatever. But then everybody was like, no, you really need to meet him. Like, he's going to make your dreams come true. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, so randomly, I was living in New York at the time, and I was going to LA, and I was told I had a 15-minute meeting with Jimmy Iovine. So I was like, oh, okay, 15 minutes. I could do a lot in 15 minutes. And I remember getting on the plane at New York, and this is where my whole visualization came into it. And everyone kept telling me that this guy's the guy, like, he's gonna make your dreams come true. So I was like, okay. So I got on the plane, and pretty much through the whole, and I've not told anyone this, apart from my best friend who's sitting right there, right? And probably my cousin who's sitting over there. But I got on the plane, and I literally meditated and visualized the entire way. And I said, on that plane, it was 6 hours journey, I was like, this is gonna happen. Like, he's gonna really believe in my dream and he's gonna really help me. And I literally meditated on that the whole way. I got there, my 15 minute turned into a 4 hour meeting. He then flew to New York the next week to meet with me. And we had breakfast, which I have to just name drop for a minute, Jay-Z showed up to, which was nuts, by the way. I acted very cool, and I'm saying that publicly, but I did. But anyway, the whole way, like I said, I kind of meditated there. And by the way, what was the question?
Really mentoring. Who helped mentor you,
oh,
guide
yeah.
you?
So, yeah, I was like going through the whole story. So anyway, so Jimmy Iovine mentored me, and the crazy story of how I met him and everything. So yeah, then he got to, but the beautiful thing in this whole thing was like, so he got to New York, we had breakfast, and you know, I was playing like really tough, and I was like, so Jimmy, if you want to invest in the company, it's like 5 days, no due diligence, this is how it's going down. And he was like, I'll give you a check right now. And I was like, wow, okay, I'm taking it. So, and he just changed my life. Like, he changed my life because he really believed in my dream. But you know, the interesting thing was, so we closed the investment, I then met him again in New York, and he said something really crazy to me, and I only really understood it later, and he said, you know, you're awesome, you're really great, but I just have to tell you, like, this company's not gonna work. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, look, I've been in pop culture for years, like, you're way too early, and by the time the timing's right for you, you'd have run out of money and you'd run out of steam. And he goes, we can fix the money problem, but we can't fix the steam problem. And I was like, well, why did you just give me, like, $500,000? Like, why did you just do that? And he goes, because to me, you're no different to Eminem or to Gwen Stefani or any other talent that I invest in. He said, this is your first single and you've yet to go and develop your album. And you know, you might have to go through many singles to get to that album. But if Eminem walks in with a single that I don't like, I wouldn't say, get out and I'm never gonna, you know, do anything else with you. I'd tell him to go back to the studio and create something else because he's a creative. And that changed my whole perspective on life. And, you know, it made me see failure in a very different way. That's and I don't brilliant. See it as failure anymore. And by the way, I have failed many times. And now I say to people, fail fast and move on. Mm-hmm. You know, just don't get, you know, failure is just one of those things that just really F's with your brain. Yeah. Like, because then you think, I failed, I can't do it again. Well, trust me, guys, I failed and he failed. I mean, for all the artists that he, you know, have succeeded there, I'm sure there are many that didn't. But it didn't stop him. It didn't stop him finding the next person and the next person. So I think that, you know, he's been my biggest mentor. I really believe that I visualized that to myself. I really believe that I got there through my network, which I did. And, you know, since then, he's been an incredible mentor, not just to me, but to Priyanka. And, you know, 6 years later, he's invested in a bunch of projects with me. We co-invest in deals, and he's just been an amazing partner.
Very cool. Thank you for that. So, Mary, I know you wrote the book. But that's a big investment of time. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like you were being lazy at the time when you wrote it. So what motivated you to spend that time? What were you trying to accomplish for self and others in that journey?
I get a lot of emails, and a lot of young girls reach out to me that are looking to get into tech or looking to get into STEM. I also had an opportunity to travel as innovation and entrepreneurship ambassador with the Department of State. And one of the things that I realized is everybody was asking the same questions. These were the same questions that I had been asking earlier too. So I decided to put, you know, everything down. I haven't really had, you know, a lot of mentors. I haven't, you know, have like official mentors, career mentors. So I read voraciously. I mean, everything that comes out, I read that. I consider all these people my invisible counsel, right? So I'll say, okay, what will Bill Gates do? What will this person do? You know, and I go back to the book. And so the things and the ways, the resources that I had used all along the way, I wanted to be able to share those. I also wanted people to know that truly, I mean, we live in a time that's completely limitless. You know, like Angela, a lot of people say, well, how did you get a contract with Microsoft Xbox or with Coca-Cola or this person? And they assume that because I'm working with all these brands that I had those contacts. But, you know, so for example, I say, you know, in the book, I think I say this in the book too, that LinkedIn, that's my rich uncle, right?
Because I love that. Did you hear that? Her rich uncle. Uncle,
right, is LinkedIn. Because there is no one, I believe also, there is no one that I cannot get to, you know, through right. LinkedIn and just through the network of people that I've been able to gather and this army or tribe that I've been able to, you know, find along the way. And, you know, come to the realization that it doesn't matter about the circumstance or how much money you have or don't have. It's not about chasing the money, it's about chasing the people, the right people, because the right people are the difference between any and every season in your life. So just finding the right people to be able to support you. And that's, you know, basically the approach.
Very cool. I bought your book today. I'd like you to sign it. I'm going to read it. I'm so excited.
Thanks. So that's why I wrote the book, so that, you know, I feel like I went through like the desert and had to bang through this wall with this hammer. So I'm like, okay, now that I'm inside, I know, okay, here's the door. Let somebody else come in through it so they don't have to go through in circles and do all the things that, you know, I had to kind of stumble into and figure out on my own.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So, Anna, one last question, then we'll open up to the audience. Work for you guys. In terms of your journey and navigating in the competition and what keeps you up and excited and motivates you, who is mentoring you, and how do you stay innovative? How do you look around corners? I mean, I hear people are futurists. Mm-hmm. They see patterns, but how do you teach that? How do you do that?
So I'm going to echo what you were saying. I don't think I haven't had a mentor. And the reason being because the things that I've been doing as an entrepreneur have been leading the way and opening doors and creating actually a space that didn't exist. So I was lucky enough to do that because I saw those trends. And how do I teach somebody else to see those trends? I don't know. It's something that's in me, like being a connector, like several things. But it's once you recognize that and you empower yourself with knowing that that's what you are and that's where you're able to continue growing, then you make decisions also in a different way because you have confidence in those decisions because you know that that's part of who you are. So Latina Bloggers Connect, I launched it in 2010. I had launched a mom blog before that called Spanglish Baby, which was one of the first blogs for parents raising bilingual and bicultural kids. Yeah. You read it! Yeah. And there was no blog like that before. And this was in 2009 when, you know, I had just become a mom a year before and the recession had hit. I had quit my job with these huge aspirations to be a stay-at-home mom. And all my friends were like, yeah, that's going to last like a year with you, probably. It lasted less or a little bit because of the recession. And my husband started losing his clients and we weren't doing well. And I was finding the world of mom blogs to help me be a mom, of course. And this beautiful community of women, successful women that had taken matters into their own hands in the way of creating content and sharing it and building a community of support around them. But I wasn't finding Latina moms. And much less moms that were talking, you know, that reflected the questions that I had and the culture and et cetera. So launched Spanglish Baby, and immediately I started finding other Latina mom bloggers that were also out there trying to find each other. There was few of us. And then from seeing that, you know, within a year, it was like, okay, we need to start making money if I want to survive doing this. And we started reaching out to brands and started figuring out how to work with brands. And I noticed, okay, I'm able to do that. The rest of the girls in my community are trying to do that as well, because we have this passion for what we're doing, but we need to be sustained for this passion. So I created Latina Bloggers Connect, which now the term influencer marketing agency is super popular, but back then it didn't exist. It was a blogger network. So Instagram didn't exist. You know, it was just like Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. But back to that, I didn't have a mentor at that time. It was just seeing what was happening around us and really having nothing to lose, because I didn't even need to invest money in it. I was in my kitchen table with my laptop with these pretty much free tools accessible to everyone, and just an idea and a passion, and knowing that I wanted to stay in that space, and a husband who was okay with it. That I didn't go back to work full time and was able to, you know, it was a huge risk for us living off one income to make sure that I could make this dream that I was seeing day by day start to manifest a reality. So now I have mentors because I'm trying to take it to the next level. And that next level is completely unknown to me. And that's where the mentors are starting to manifest themselves.
Very cool. Thank you so much. All three of you are so inspiring. I wish I had a pen. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are going to start with some questions. There's three microphones. If anyone has a question, do you want to get up to the mic right there so everyone can hear you? Because we're recording this session. I just want to make sure everyone can hear.
So speaking of moonshots, Google's Alphabet stock is not doing so well today because of the revenue loss on moonshots. How do you know when you go for it? Because a lot of us, I'm a single mom, I have a kid to sustain, and yes, I do have some savings, but you know, I have to be responsible. And the other one is, how do you know it's a moonshot?
Can I answer that?
Yes.
Okay. So I first learned about the term moonshot from Larry Page, and one of the things that he said that I thought was so profound was that when you think about a moonshot, it should be something that 10 years from now will affect billions of people, right? So, and it also feeds a philosophy that I believe in. You know, this is also something that my dad shared with me. He said that when I was leaving, he said that that in life, there are two things, right? The problems that you solve and the problems that you create. And as long as you make yourself valuable to people, you'll be okay. So if you combine those two things of providing, being of service, providing a value, but thinking of something that's not only going to be of value to you, but in 10 years could be of value to a billion people, you know, the cultural shift, that shift, then you know you have a real moonshot. And you have to be passionate about it to where you're going to drive it no matter what, and you believe in it so much so that you're willing to live for it. So that's how you know you have a moonshot. And you have to take the chance, because once you do, it's going to happen. But you have to believe that. You know, I mean, when I left my job, I had responsibilities. I'm a single mom, this, that, that. But you have to believe that it's going to happen. And if it's truly a moonshot, you're going to attract the resources and the people that are going to gather around it, and it's going to bloom into something magical.
Yeah. Very cool. Question.
So a little more personal question, I think. So your stories are definitely very inspiring, and it really inspires all of us to dream big. But I'm really curious, at any point, did you have to struggle in making the people who are closer to you, not the broader network, not your professional network, but people who are closer to you, and how did you struggle in making them believe in what you wanted to do, and okay, how would it tear you apart in terms of what you want to do today versus what's the bigger picture?
You know, the funny thing is, and you'll probably relate to this because I'm guessing you're South Asian. Are you?
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, my biggest critics when I was building Desi Hits, my company, were my fellow South Asians, who I would have thought would be the ones that would be like, we need this, this is amazing, you're gonna change the face of pop culture, like you're gonna make more opportunities for all of us, you're gonna change the face of TV, you're gonna change the face of like whatever. They were my biggest critics. And you know what I had to do? I had to like literally be taking 50 Cent and Lady Gaga and all of these non-Indian people to our country to learn our culture and our ways for them to believe that I could do anything. And it was so crazy. Like, I was literally like, I was trying to hustle these really kind of like fledgling artists that I wanted to put on our platform and create content with them, but they just ignored us because they were like, oh, it's a South Asian thing, I don't want to do it, right? So it was only when the first person that we got actually was 50 Cent to do content with us and do all this stuff with us. And everybody was sitting there going, how the hell did you get 50 Cent? I was like, do you know, it was easy to get 50 Cent than it was to get a fellow South Asian to support what we were trying to do. So yeah, I feel like I didn't just have like close people around me, and they were South Asian that were close people around me, like my extended family, and people were like, what are you doing? What are you doing? But I also had the community at large just like completely shunning what I was doing. So yeah, but it didn't stop me, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, I kind of started, you know, an industry within the Hispanic community. My family lives in between Texas, and I have family in El Salvador and all over the place in Mexico. I can clearly say that probably not until this year or last year, finally kind of understand and grasp what it is that I do, other than just sitting in front of the computer all day. Right? That's all they see, that I sit in front of the computer, but they're not understanding the magic that is happening on the other side of that computer, the communities that are being built, the women that are being inspired, the lives that are being changed, et cetera. You know, even when I started my blog, I was like, are you reading my blog? You know, like and my husband has sat next to me the whole time, but he's been supportive because he could see the drive and the passion in me, and that I didn't care if he didn't understand, right? It was something that I wanted to do. And when you are in that moonshot phase, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, because you know, you really know deep down inside that what you're doing is going to be successful. Whatever success means to you, I do believe that success is very personal. Mm-hmm. But you know, what really brought it to life for us was creating the conference. So I actually brought my mom, I flew her out this year, and my aunt from Texas, like the two most important women in my life, I brought them to the conference. I'm like, you're coming and you're gonna understand what I do, right? And it was not until I think they saw me on stage, they saw the relationship with the community, they saw the community, you know, live, and they were getting all the swag in the world, that they really even respected and understood, you know, why the struggle, because they couldn't understand, like, you have a career, you live in LA, you have a career, go get a good job. And why we were struggling so much, because it has been a struggle. I don't have investment. It's a month-to-month project, relying on Fortune 500 companies that are our clients and our good reputation, et cetera. So it's a sacrifice for us, right? But now they finally understand it. So what I could say to you is, don't try to convince them. You can only convince yourself.
Yes. Very good. Another question.
Hi there, my name is Erica Topete, and I wanted to direct this question to Angela. First off, thank you to each and every one of you for the honesty and authenticity you brought to the stage today. But I wanted to ask, you mentioned, Angela, you know, how you created something out of nothing. But then you kind of like went to the other side of things and talked about how to grow your network and how to grow something by having something of value to offer. I wanted to ask if you could go back to when you know, to those beginning stages of when you didn't have anything, and like what that looked like. Paint a picture of like how you go about moving and shaking things to, you know, enter and become a key player in the entertainment stage in the VC area.
Sure. So I'll give you a very specific example. And I don't know how I thought about doing this, but I just did. So when I moved to America, I moved to actually the Valley, to Santa Clara actually, and I didn't know anyone, and I came really as my ex-husband's partner. So it was like I didn't even have a company or a job that I was going to every day, but I got invited to this conference randomly, and I can't even remember what the conference was now, but it was somewhere around here. And I was like, God, like, you know, I felt really insecure and I felt really unsure of myself and I didn't know what to do, but this is what I did. So I went to the conference and I would be talking to people and then I would just remember like who they are and I would connect the dots. So let's just say I met you and you told me that you had a startup in AI. And then I met Anna and she told me that she was an investor in AI and I might have met her earlier or later or whatever. I would link you to. So I would go, oh my God, you know who you need to meet? You need to meet Anna. And then you would remember me and she would remember me, and I would just make those connections. And I didn't know anybody. So that's how I started. I literally started like that, and people would just remember me. And when I first started, LinkedIn wasn't even going. But then when I started connecting those people, like when I started building my LinkedIn, and now I have a really pretty big LinkedIn, the amazing thing is like, you now have a way to put these people into the system, and like the software shows you how you're connected and who you connect to and all of that. So it's like amazing. You have this whole mapping thing. And I call it magical mapping in my head. Like my whole thing
back
is
to magic.
Like, right. It's like this magical mapping. If you can get really clever at connecting the dots, you can do this. Mm-hmm. So that's how you start. That was the very beginning of it.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Any other questions?
Hi, my name is Johanna, and first of all, I want to say so much gratitude and appreciation for all of you. Like, this is the only session that I've taken notes at today.
Thank you.
I particularly appreciate that Mary, both you and Anna, have said that you didn't really have mentors, because I've always thought that sort of there's some deficiency in myself that I read a lot, but I've not found a mentor. And there's a way that I think I was artificially holding myself back mm-hmm. by that, so thank you, because that's busted. Mm-hmm. Total shout out to magic. And, and just, Anjula, it was so helpful for me when you were talking about the four things that you look for. And so now the question swirling in my mind is, how do you really know if the problem you have to solve is a real problem?
And lots of people experiencing it. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, with ClassPass, lots of people were experiencing that they loved classes, but they were too expensive. So if there was like, it's like Netflix or Spotify, it becomes a platform that democratizes whatever it is, content or whatever. So if you create something that solves a problem for a billion people or a gazillion people or whatever, and many people are experiencing that problem, then you're onto something. Right. And chances are you're experiencing it first, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You know, I think I love that. I always say, I'm gonna say it in English terms, but what do you guys call it? We call it a Hoover, a vacuum cleaner. Yeah. Like the Roomba. Like, I think that was like genius. Right. Like, wasn't everybody saying at some point, oh, I wish I had a Hoover that just Hoovered itself, right? Yes. And I could just sit here and drink my tea. Right. Well, wow, somebody came up with that and it works.
Right. And one thing that I'm going to add to that, Anjula, is I've had a couple of businesses that failed, that right. You know, didn't work. And those felt like pushing something uphill, right? Things were taking a while. And then now I'm experiencing a space that I've never, ever seen this type of traction. You know, so I understand very clearly when investors look for traction. In the sense that things are happening so quickly, and the types of people that we're attracting with the business, you know, we're working with Universal Music, by the way, the types of people that we're attracting with the business, and every day we're going, oh my God, I can't believe so-and-so, you know, wants to use this product. So I think the traction, you know, beyond yourself and the people who love you, like, oh my God, this is the greatest, but the traction from other people too is going to happen, and it's, you know, it's truly great when that starts to happen compared to when it's not really happening and you're pushing.
And just to add to that, one thing is like the whole thing about failing fast. Like, everyone talks to you as an entrepreneur about like not telling you to fail, but like, and just know that my first startup failed, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we got great momentum and I did amazing things and I pivoted out of that to do other things, and that was my stepping stone, and I never let that failure pull me down or break me. Mm-hmm. I had moments where I felt broken, by the way, but it didn't sort of break my future. But just like the whole thing, I think people always say, persevere, and that's a sign of a good entrepreneur. I actually disagree. I think a sign of a good entrepreneur is somebody that understands that this isn't working and can change and pivot. And by the way, a lot of VCs hate the word pivot, but me and another partner of mine at our fund, we love the word pivot. Mm-hmm. And ClassPass pivoted 3 times mm-hmm. before it got to ClassPass. So don't be afraid to like just say, this isn't working and I'm going to move and I'm going to change. And the beautiful thing about being an entrepreneur is that you can do that. You're not running a Fortune 500 company where it's a really slow process to change and you're going to have to lay off a gazillion people to do it. Like, you can do it really fast. That's the beauty of startups.
All right, you've been so patient. Last question, speed date, answer.
Sorry. Sorry, it just builds on something that you're already talking about. I'd love to know, what are some, sort of like triggers or signs to tell you that this is something you need to walk away from and start again? When do you know that it's time to give up on an idea?
When you're truly not enjoying it anymore, and the magic isn't happening, right? I think when you're in that path, it is, you start seeing how easy it is to manifest. From you think something, you cast that spell, and it just kind of immediately happens. You are in that path, and the people appear, the opportunities appear, but it really is that dragging feeling that you know that this just doesn't feel good anymore. I mean, it's kind of like, I would like to say cheesy, I don't know if it's a cheesy answer to, you know, too metaphysical, but it really does feel like that.
Right, when you're watching the clock versus saying, where did the time go? You know,
yeah,
you're not as excited anymore.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
That's real. Yeah. So thank you all to the panelists,
thank you
for your participation. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.